And he didn't have an awful lot of money, but he did love me very much. So I'm thinking, how am I going to pay for college? And what am I going to do? And one day I remember very distinctly coming home. I don't know if I was coming home from school or from work or what I was doing, but I came home and I kind of sloughed off my stuff in the kitchen like so many of you guys do. It's my house. I opened the refrigerator, stood there for 45 minutes, contemplating. Closed the refrigerator because there's nothing to eat. Go to the cupboard, grab some chips, right? If you identify with me, say amen. Four of you guys, praise Jesus for that. Yes, awesome. So then I went, my room was downstairs. I went downstairs to my bedroom, opened the door to my room. I walked through. I don't remember exactly what was going on, but I had posters all over my room because it was the 90s, and I had Sports Illustrated posters just everywhere covering every square inch. And so I looked at my posters and I turned, and I was like floored, shocked, blown away, excited. You know why I was excited? Because literally there was a pile of money on my bed. I'm not making this up. There was a pile of money. It didn't look exactly like that, but it looked something like that. There was a pile of money on my bed, and I was excited because my dad knew that I needed money to go to college. And so he went and got a bunch of money from the bank that he didn't really have to give, but he gave it to me anyway. It was a major sacrifice for him, but he gave me the money anyway. What I'd like to do now is just stop and pray. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and I thank you for the message that you formed in my heart. I pray, Lord, that you would give me wisdom as I speak, and that they would not be my words but your words, that you would give these people ears to hear. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. See, I didn't earn that money. There was a pile of money, but I didn't earn any of it, right? It's not like I was earning money at the time, but the money I was earning was going towards my car payment, not towards this big pile of money on my bed, right? So I didn't earn the money. I didn't deserve the money. But my dad, he knew me, and he saw my need, and he knew that without college, I was going to be stuck in this dead-end job, right? But with college, I had life, and so it was his opportunity to give me life. He gave me a shot at life, and of course, I went to college, and then I finished, I got my degree, I went on to be a teacher for a decade, and God called me into ministry, and so here I am. But it was all started, the catalyst to the whole thing was my dad giving me this pile of money. I went, in essence, from death or a dead-end job to life in that I'm living the life Jesus has called me to live. And it was all started by that gift. It was a gracious gift. And my dad, he was communicating something to me, something more than just, I'm going to give you a pile of money. Which, you know, how many of you, if you walked into your room and there was a pile of money, you'd be praising Jesus. One person, and it's my son. Come on now, help me out. Several of you, 5, 6, 7 of you, you guys are the deadest group I've worked with in a while. Help me out. Say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, my mom still teases me about that, and she's going to watch this later. Hi, Mom. Everybody turn around to the camera and say, hi, Mom. Yes, there's a camera. How about that? So, she's going to ask me later about your hair, and I'll tell her the story, because otherwise it's just a girl with a mohawk. But it's a cool mohawk, but I'll have to tell my mom the story. I'll have to tell my mom the story. Anyway, so, my dad will watch this anyway, but right, so back with me, I didn't deserve to get this money, but my dad saw the need, and he wanted to communicate some things to me, right? So help me out. What was my dad communicating? I'm 6'6", I'm white, and I have something for you. So what did he communicate? He communicated, it's the white part that's the funny part. I'm sorry, it's racist that I'm white? If I were black, I would say I was black. If I were Latino, I would say I was Latino. I'm white. What can I say? I am what I am. But he, my dad, so back to the main thing, right? Keep the main thing the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. What was he trying to communicate to me? He was communicating, Stephanie said he was communicating that he loved me. What else was he trying to communicate to me? He wanted me to go to college. So what does that communicate if you want somebody to go to college? He wants you to succeed. What? He wants me gone. Okay. Apparently, some of you are living in the world of teenage rather than the world of parent. I'm sensing that perspective. It's not about wanting me gone. I can tell you that. He wanted me to succeed and excel in life. He was also saying this to me. He was saying, I believe in you. Right? Are you with me? Hello? Anybody here? Am I talking to myself? I'm practicing this sermon in the shower, apparently, all by myself. No, I'm not. I'm right here in front of you. Well, strike that. I'm practicing in the closet. How's that? But y'all are worse. You just went from bad to worse. Seriously. Okay. How about my office? Can I say that? Is that a safe? Layton's like, nope, that's bad too. Seriously, get out of your head. Anyway, main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Sometimes you just have to kind of stop and start over. Here's the stop and here's the start over. He's communicating this. He believes in me. Right? Focus. He's communicating he believes in me. He's communicating that he trusts me. Jessica said it's an investment. Yeah, it's an investment because he believes that I'm not just going to go off to college, mess around for a couple years, flunk out, and pour that money that he gave me down the drain. Right? He believes in me. He trusts me. He's proud of me. Right? It's not all that often that somebody gives a gift like that if they're not proud of that person, if they don't have hopes and dreams and aspirations for that person. It's a big deal. And here's the thing, guys, so look at me when I say this. It changed my relationship with my dad. It changed my relationship with my dad. I loved my dad before, right? That was very clear. I loved him and he loved me, and that was never in question. But all of a sudden, I wanted to work a little harder. I wanted to make him proud of me. I wanted to demonstrate that the money that he gave me was a wise investment. It was a good choice. That the things that he hoped for me and longed for me would actually come true in my life. I wanted to do those things. And it wasn't out of obligation, right? So often what happens, if somebody gives you a gift and you have to turn around and you do what for them? You give them a gift back. What do they call that when you give them a gift back? Well, it's a gift exchange. It's Christmas. But what emotion is going on there when somebody gives you a gift and you feel like you have to give them one back? It could be guilt sometimes, or maybe the sense of obligation. I don't know if you guys have ever done things out of obligation, but I have, and it's not a good motive. It's not a good thing to be obliged to do something for somebody. Somebody's nice to you, so you have to be nice back. There's a bunch of ways to describe this. I feel like I'm losing you guys, like you're completely gone. I don't know if I need to, like, be on fire for you to pay attention, or if I were on fire, you would pay attention. A flaming llama would do. I'm going to turn off my cell phone because I need to do that. I did get a new phone. There. Off. Off. There, now it's not a distraction for me. Is it a distraction for you? Okay, good. Let's get back to this, because I really think God has something for us, or I wouldn't be standing here with a microphone. I don't like obligation. I don't like guilt. I think that's a really horrible reason to do things. If you're basing your life decisions out of guilt, then you're only going to feel lousy before and after. You'll maybe appease the guilt, but it's not a good reason to do things. And I didn't want to do things out of guilt or obligation. I made the choices I made because I loved my dad. I still love my dad. And I still want him to be proud of me. And when he tells me he's proud of me, and he does all the time, I talk to him on the phone, it makes me feel incredible. It makes me feel special. It makes the things that I'm doing seem valid and important. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal for me. And I want you to get that, that there's an outpouring of emotion that happens as a result. It's a new and a fresh thing with me and my dad because he believed in me, he trusted in me, and he wanted good things for my life. And he started me down that road with this gift of love. And so I have a question for you guys. Do you feel that way? Do you feel that way? Like, not like you're obliged, but like somebody has given you a gift of love and your response is an outpouring of love. Is embarking on a journey together, and I'm not talking about ATF, that'll be a journey too, and we will have a good time, I promise you that. But we're embarking together on a journey. We're going to be talking about God's grace. In particular, we're going to be talking today about Father God love. And throughout the next weeks, the coming weeks, we're going to be talking about God's grace. And there's a bunch of, just a huge variety of answers when you ask somebody, what's grace mean? A lot of people will say, well, that's somebody's name. Or some people say, well, it's the name of the church. We do attend Grace Church, by the way. If you didn't know, this building right here is called Grace Church. So there's that. But then there's also the sort of the biblical definition, God's unmerited favor. But whatever that means, we don't really know. Right? Because it's sort of convoluted and complicated. But we're going to be talking about it. And what I want you to get from this is that we're going to be seeking to understand not just God's word or his creation or the beauty and complexity of who God is, but we're going to be seeking to understand God himself. And in particular, his love for us. I spoke a while ago and I talked about how Jesus is irresistible. And I said, Jesus is irresistible because if you have an understanding of how much God loves you and why Jesus came for you and how he sacrificed for you and how that all works together, you can't help but be attracted to him. You can't help it. He's irresistible. And it comes down to the fundamental understanding of his grace. And I hope that we're going to be transporting head knowledge to heart knowledge, transporting thoughts about God to feelings, interacting with God. That's our target for this spring because his love is matchless and his gracious gifts are without compare. Here's the thing. God gave us the gift of life. And then he gave us the gift of life. A little confused yet? Good. He gave us the gift of life, and then he gave us the gift of life. Everybody breathe in deeply. Some of us are ill, so there's coughing occurring. But the gift of life and the gift of life. And here's the thing about the gift of life. The gift of life is what starts it all. We can't have any other gift without the gift of life, right? And your parents, by the way, were involved in that gift, and maybe you ought to think about thanking them for bringing you into this world. It's a good thing to thank your parents for. But it's the gift of life, and it's the gift of life. And I want to unpack this just a little bit, this idea, the gift of life and the gift of life. Because here's the thing, we all recognize this verse, John 3:16, right? Here's John 3:16, I have it on a slide right here, ready to say, go. You should be impressed. That was awesome. Thank you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. I want you to key on two words. Gave and life. Say it with me. Gave. Okay, that works. Gave and life, right? He gave so that we could have life. Just like my dad gave so that I could have life. God gave his son so that we could have life. I could have a life. It's a little different, but it's a little the same. Here's the thing. Death was that dead-end job for me, right? The words dead-end job indicate that there's like a death of part of you as you continue in that job. Not if that makes sense. There's three people that makes sense to. Okay, there's a dead-end job, which indicates if you continue in that job, part of you dies. There was a dead-end job for me, but he gave me life in that. Now I have an opportunity to do what I was designed to do. This is what God put me here for. This is the thing for me. And so he gave me that thing. And so life is that opportunity. And here's the thing. God also gave us a gift that has changed our destiny from death to life. And you guys are all like Sunday school kids, and you've heard this 1,000 times, right? Nod if that's true of you. Right. I'm way more nodding than the first question. But here's the question I have for you. What is life? We like to talk about life like we know what it is, or we say we have a life, or when we're making fun of our friends, we say, you don't have a life. Right? Does your mom, Steven's mom says that. And so that's what you guys say to your friends, right? Sometimes you say, you don't even have a life, dude. Seriously. Quit giving me a hard time and get a life. Is that still a phrase? Do people still say that? Get a life? Steven's mom says that. Well, get a life. Here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. Ooh, that kind of echoes. Okay, it didn't echo anymore. That's so sad for you. I'm sorry you can't echo or whistle. Okay, here's the thing. Pastor Chris actually did a little studying on this one. I know, it's amazing. Everybody act shocked. Perfect. You guys are good at that. I did a little study and I found out that in the New Testament, everybody say New Testament. I don't know what you're saying, it's New Testament. New Testament, there are at least a dozen different Greek words for our word life. A dozen. In Greek, there are a dozen words for our word life. A dozen. So I'm going to go through all of them. Take a deep breath. No, I'm just teasing. We're just going to talk about two. Will you throw up the next verse for me? John chapter 10 and verse 10 and 11. John chapter 10 and verse 10 and 11. When I get to the part that says life, I want you guys all to actually say the word life. Okay, we're going to practice it. And God gave us... Good. Here we go. The thief comes... Focus. This is your role. Are you nervous? Here we go. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his for the sheep. Okay? Two words up there. Life. They're the same word, but they're two different words in the Greek. Weird, huh? They're two different words in the Greek. I'm so glad you asked. What are they? What are the two words, PC? Here are the two words. The first word is Zoe. Everybody say Zoe. Zoe. The second word is Psyche. Everybody say Psyche. Here's the thing. Zoe and Psyche. So the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have Zoe. 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 The first one is Zoe. And have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his psyche for the sheep. Here's the difference. Ready? Here's the difference. Ready? When Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, he was using Zoe. And Zoe doesn't just mean flesh and blood with a heart pumping and lungs compressing and decompressing to allow air to pass through your bronchial tubes so that you might be able to breathe and your heart might be able to pump blood so that you might be alive. That's what psyche means. You're alive. Okay? Zoe means the essence of who you are. The real you, the part that transcends time. Some of you guys have an understanding of this, right? You know that at the day that you accepted Jesus, you were born again. Okay? And when you were born again, there was a change in the destiny of your Zoe, your life. Right? The essence of who you are, the part of you that continues on forever, was no longer destined for hell, but was destined for heaven. That you may have life. And I hope that somebody explained to you at that point in time that that life doesn't begin when you die, when your psyche is ended. That's not when that Zoe begins. The Zoe begins now. Right? When you were conceived, you were given both kinds of life. And now it's a matter of your life having been rescued. You've been redeemed. Your destiny has been changed. Because God's grace, He gave you the gift of life, of Zoe. Most of you guys already get that. He didn't just give you the breath. He gave you the eternal essence that would live on. So life isn't just about breathing and day to day, and I gotta go to school, and I don't really want to go to school, but I'm obliged to go to school, so I have to go to school. And it's not really about, I'm gonna have this part-time job so that eventually I can get a car, because I really want a car so that I can go and pick up my girlfriend, and then we can go out to the movies, and then I have a car so I have some spending money, and a job so I have some spending money, and a car so I can get my girlfriend, and we can go to out to eat, and we can go to the movie, we can go to the drive-in, as long as the drive-in's open, but it's wintertime, so the drive-in's not open, and it's not all about any of that. The essence of who you are is the part that's eternal. And God has rescued that part. The gift He gave was to give you life and life abundant. That's the gift. That's the life. The eternal essence of who you are. I want you to get that. When you start to understand that, the whole story, right? Some of you are familiar with the Romans road. The whole story of sin and the consequences of sin, right? Some of you guys have heard this. The wages of sin is, right? The wages of sin is death. So what does death mean? Death means that your Zoe is now intended for hell. That's death. When the end of your psyche comes, your Zoe heads for hell. That's death. Death is separation from God. Christ came, He died so that He would rescue us from that, right? Nod your heads if you've heard this story. Yes, good, you've heard this story. Now let me bring it to you with a way that you'll understand why we do what God asks us to do. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you will what? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, there's lots of them, but the one that's really important for this age group is keep my commandments, right? If you love me, you will obey, basically, is what Jesus said, right? Anybody familiar with if you love me, you will obey? Dear heavens, are you done yet? When I was a second grader, I'm telling a story, shut up. When I was a second grader, I had to move from one school to another school. Everybody say, oh. Isn't that sad? It's pretty sad. I had to move from one school to another school. When I was a second grader, hey, how you doing? When I was a second grader, I had to move from one school to another school, and it was difficult for me. How many of you guys have had to move from one school to another school in your lifetime? It is not super easy. It's a kind of a pain in the butt. I moved from one school to another school, and as a second grader, I already knew who Jesus was. Focus, I'm telling a story. It's a good story. Zip it. Perfect, but you can do yours later. Okay. As a second grader, I had to move from one school to another school, and I met a kid in this new school, and his name is Matt. And he and I sort of hit it off, and we became friends, which is a good thing, because when you're in a new school and you're a second grader, everything's intimidating enough, and really what you need is you need a friend. And so he and I became friends, and we started hanging out and playing football in recess, and pretty soon, I was hanging out at his house after school, and we were going bowling and having birthday parties and all this kind of stuff. We became very good friends. We were friends for years and years and years. In fact, I'm still his friend. He lives in Spokane. He's married. He has a little baby. Everybody say, oh. I know. So It's so exciting. But here's the thing about Matt. Matt was never really introduced to the Jesus I knew. It's pretty sad. He was never introduced to the Jesus I knew. The Jesus I knew and the Jesus he knew were not the same Jesus. And so we would have these long conversations and I'd try to explain to him and help him understand who Jesus was, because I don't know if you've noticed this, but I'm kind of passionate about my Jesus. I love my Jesus. I can't wait to go to heaven so that I can hang out with Jesus. That's really how I feel. And if I haven't conveyed that to you, look into my eyes and see the passion that burns, because I want to be in heaven with Jesus. That's really how I feel. I would go there right now if I had a chance to. But he has called me to stay here, and so I'm here. And so this is the thing. I'm having this conversation with my friend, and we're back and forth about Jesus and this and that. And he has all these questions that normal kids have about, oh, well, if God's so good, how come bad things happen? And we go through that, and we go through the other thing, and we go through the other thing. And finally he goes, well, you said that if I want to believe in Jesus, all I have to do is ask him into my heart, and that's it. Well, kind of. It says believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Right? We like to quote that, Romans chapter 10. Yeah? Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Ask him into your heart. He said, so then I don't have to obey all this stuff? I said, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, when Jesus was talking about this, he said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. If you love me, you will do the things that I have been doing. If you love me, you will follow after me. If you love me, you will show the way. If you love me, you will go to the ends of the earth. If you love me, you will do these things. And he said, well, I just met the guy. How am I supposed to love him? And I came to this stunning realization that God never said, obey me because I'm God, and I will throw a lightning bolt through your forehead. I mean, that would cause some people to obey. You know what I'm saying? If you were walking down the halls of your school and these two kids were making out and all of a sudden they were electrocuted, and then there were just two like puddles on the floor over there, and you were like, I'm not making out with my girlfriend, I'll tell you that much. I'm going to stay alive. That's what I'm going to do, because that freaks me out. Like Old Testament times, people were messing around, making false gods and all this stuff. God just opened up a hole in the earth and thousands of them. Whoa! People were like, okay, God, you're God, I'm not God, I'm going to do all the things. And there was fear that caused them to obey. And it lasted for a little while. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, he didn't say, obey me or I will fry you. That's not what Jesus said. He didn't say, obey me because you feel guilty. Didn't you see me die? And sometimes we get that from people. You have to obey Jesus. Look what he did for you. And then it's guilt. It's out of, I'm compelled to obey. And that is not what Jesus asked. He said, if you love me. If you love me. I love my dad. And I'd do anything for him. And when he asks me to do something, I don't think about it. I just do it. I love my dad because he first loved me. Because he gave me this sacrificial gift. Because he trusted in me. He believed in me. He cared for me. He raised me up. And he wasn't perfect. He's going to watch this video and he'll be in tears, I guarantee it. And you know why he'll be in tears? Because he'll say, I'm not worthy of all that. And he's right, he isn't, none of us are. But it's not about what we're worth. It's about what God said we are. Who does God say you are? Did he say, I trust you? Did he say, I believe in you? Did he say, I'm proud of you? Did he say, I loved you before you even knew who I was? Did he say, obey me? I want you to obey me, but only if you love me. Only if you love me. If you want to follow me out of love and devotion and the pure and righteous things in your heart, it makes it possible. But if you're going to love me out of some weird compulsion or guilt, if you're going to obey me because your parents are raining their fist down on you, if you're going to obey me because you're afraid if you don't obey me, you're going to go to hell, that obedience isn't going to last. That obedience isn't going to get you through the tough times. That obedience isn't going to show you the way. It's not the way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's going to give you Zoe life because he loves you. So my question is, does that change the way you feel about him? Does it change the way you feel about him? We're going to watch a video and then we'll finish this.
Jealous for me, loves like a hurricane.